Well, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, it is my sincere pleasure to welcome you to our annual keynote convocation. This convocation displays a few of the Sterling College traditions as a new academic year begins. I pray that you will continue to seek the Lord in new opportunities, allowing Him to mold and direct your lives here at Sterling and beyond. We are so glad that you're a part of the Sterling College family of warriors. Let's begin our keynote convocation with the invocation from Dr. Todd Vogts.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here at the dawn of a new school year at Sterling College, we pause to acknowledge your presence and grace in our lives. We thank you for the privilege of education and the opportunity to be a part of this community. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon this institution, its faculty, staff, and students. May this campus be a place of inspiration where minds are nurtured and talents are developed. We pray for the professors that they may be guided by your wisdom as they impart knowledge to their students. Grant them patience, creativity, and a deep passion for their subjects. Bless the students, Lord, as they embark on this new academic journey, giving them the strength to overcome challenges, the curiosity to seek understanding, and the perseverance to reach their goals. May they be open to learning not only from books, but also from their experiences and interactions with one another. We also lift up the staff who work tirelessly to ensure the smooth functioning of this institution. May their efforts be appreciated, and may they find joy in their roles as they contribute to the growth of Sterling College. Moreover, Lord, may this campus be a place of inspiration, where minds are ignited and passions are nurtured. Let it be a place where intellect and character are shaped. As a theme for this year is unity, Lord, we pray for unity and a sense of community among all members of Sterling College. Let this campus be a place where friendships are formed, differences are respected, and where love and kindness prevail. Help us to celebrate our diversity, respect one another, and foster an environment of mutual understanding. May Sterling College be a place where hearts are opened, ideas are shared, and growth is both academic and personal. As we navigate this new school year, we ask for your presence to be with us every step of the way. Grant us wisdom, discernment, and a spirit of curiosity that drives us to explore the wonders of your creation. May our time here be marked by academic success, personal growth, character development, and a deepening of our faith. May your light illuminate our paths, your wisdom inspire our thoughts, and your love bind us together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As the academic dean of the college, I have quite a few pleasures during my academic year, and the first one typically is to introduce the speaker to you at the first convocation for this 2023-2024 academic year. While many of you are new to the college, our keynote speaker is no stranger to the institution, and many of our former students here today will know him well. Dr. Glenn Butner is an associate professor of theology and ministry here at Sterling, and he has served as a faculty member since the fall of 2016. Glenn holds a BA in economics and religious studies from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, a Master of Divinity from Duke Divinity School, and a PhD in religious studies with a concentration in systematic theology and ethics from Marquette University. That is quite a set of credentials. Glenn lives here in Sterling with his wife Lydia and their children, Elias, Ezra, and Sophia. Dr. Butner's speech today is titled Christian Education in the World of AI and will unite us as we launch a new academic year. Please help me welcome the 2023 keynote convocation speaker, Dr. Glenn Butner.
Thank you, Ken. You forgot I also have a really sick beard. Welcome back, Sterling College students. We're really glad to have you here. Or for some of you, welcome to Sterling College. Hopefully you have a great fall semester. Welcome to fall 2023. Also, congratulations on surviving the apocalypse. Or maybe you missed it. You see, ChatGPT, arguably the most advanced artificial intelligence, gained access to the internet in late spring semester And so according to the wisdom of my generation, sci-fi movies, Midsommar was about the time that this AI program, having become self-aware and having access to the internet to see how terrible humanity is, Midsommar is about the time that humanity should have been destroyed by artificial intelligence. So we've all survived. Congratulations. Perhaps the most famous example of science fiction fears of an AI apocalypse is the Terminator movie series. So, quick show of hands, who has seen the Terminator movies? Okay. Probably more faculty than students. Spoiler alert here, but in the Terminator movies, AI has taken over the U.S. nuclear arsenal and used it to nearly wipe out humanity on what's known as Judgment Day, which was supposed to happen August 29th, 1997. So yes, the first Terminator movie is very old. And yes, we survived that apocalypse too. In the Terminator series, the last few survivors have rallied around a man named John Connor, and the AI system called Skynet has decided to win the war by sending a cyborg, like the one in this picture, back in time, hidden in human flesh, to kill Connor's mother. I'm not really sure that the Terminator series understands how AI actually works, and I don't think it really presents to us the real threat posed by AI, but it does give voice to a very common fear that AI is going to bring about an apocalypse. If you think AI isn't a big deal, you should have heard faculty conversations over the spring semester. Because you see, if you haven't figured it out yet, and frankly, rising plagiarism violations suggest that many of you have, you can use an AI program called ChatGPT to write any of your final papers with a simple prompt and click of a button. Or you could use another AI platform called WordTune that'll put in synonyms and change your writing to make you sound smarter. And there are plenty of other AI platforms out there. I should add, by the way, that there are also AI platforms that have been developed to help us faculty detect if you've been using AI platforms. But at least in the liberal arts circles where I operate, it's very common to see articles written addressing the fear of an AI apocalypse for higher education because of all these new AI systems. So what's the fear? Well, to put it bluntly, some worry that AI could spell the end of higher education. After all, ChatGPT has successfully passed the bar exam required of all U.S. lawyers and the U.S. medical licensing exam required of all doctors before they enter their residency. A quick show of hands, have any faculty done that? One person did. Well done. You passed the medical exams, Mark? Yeah. The other one, okay. So you didn't do both. Well, turning to things more relevant to college students, ChatGPT also scored a 5, which is the highest score, as many of you know, on AP exams in art history, biology, environmental science, macroeconomics, microeconomics, psychology, statistics, U.S. government, and U.S. history. By the way, ChatGPT also scored in the 93rd percentile on the SAT. I know many of you took the ACT instead, so for frame of reference, the 93rd percentile on the ACT is a 30. So how many of you students scored less than 30? Imagine a decent amount of you. You see, all of us now have access to free open access software that can answer all the questions that you might ask your professors like me, and many of the questions you might ask, AI can answer better. Thankfully, and I'll protect my job if my boss is behind me, ChatGPT is pretty terrible at theology, so I think I'm safe for a little while. Apparently, programmers haven't considered this a priority, but some of us are rightly worried. Let's take this logic a step farther. It won't be long before ChatGPT is integrated into something like Apple's AI platform, Siri. So what's going to happen when a CEO can simply say, hey Siri, run the sales projections for Q2 and get a highly accurate projection in 30 seconds? That CEO is going to have the opportunity to choose between hiring a Sterling College business graduate and paying them $60,000 a year, or simply buying an iPhone 19 and giving that phone access to its company sales data. Do you think your job is going to be secure then? Or what about the future doctors in the room? When a nurse being paid far less than you can ask AI for a diagnosis, do you think hospitals and insurers will continue to expect more highly paid doctors to perform the most routine procedures and checkups? And if not, how are you going to pay for your med school debt if the powers that be decide you can be replaced by an app? Now you're starting to get a sense of what I mean by referring to the AI apocalypse. There's no cyborg army, but a lot of people are afraid of what the future holds. Now, I don't want to be too much of a pessimist here. AI promises great benefits in many ways. Any of you who've used Alexa to coordinate your schedule or order groceries, or those of you who have Hey Googled a question to get quick and accurate answers, know that AI can increase human productivity and human comfort. However, in the context of the rise of AI, it's important that you start thinking about this possible apocalyptic future by preparing yourself to be competitive in markets where AI platforms are also viable options to get work completed. What's going to make you competitive in that sort of context? Why would an employer choose to hire you over an app that can score higher than you do on all the standardized tests? There are a lot of possible answers to this question, but today I want to briefly address three. I think that you'll be able to compete for those jobs with AI if you focus on ethics, creativity, and critical thinking. So let's start with ethics. A U.S. Air Force colonel spoke at the Future Combat Air and Space Capabilities Summit, and he told a story about an AI drone simulation with a drone that earned points anytime it killed enemy targets. But as a safeguard, any attack by the drone required the approval of the human drone controller. When the human controller stopped the drone from shooting, it earned less points, so the drone responded by targeting the human controller. When the AI on the drone was programmed not to kill its controller, it instead targeted the communications tower so that its controller could not tell it no, and it could earn more points. Now, this story from an obscure tech summit pretty quickly ran in major news outlets, and now the Air Force denies that there's any truth to the event and that it never happened. But if it is true, it illustrates that AI needs humans to help it discern right from wrong. Not every ethics issue in AI is quite so potentially lethal or so contested, but AI is fraught with substantial ethics questions. Consider the text-to-image AI generator called Stable Diffusion. In late 2022, MIT ran a story about an artist named Greg Rutkowski, who's known for painting distinctive fantasy scenes like the one that should be appearing right here. As it turns out, Rutkowski's style was the most commonly included to prompts submitted to Stable Diffusion in its first month, where over 93,000 requests in the first month included a prompt of something like paint a dragon in the style of Greg Rutkowski. So here's one that I made with a similar prompt. The problem is, Rutkowski never consented to having his art used in this way, and he's worried that the sudden prevalence of art similar to his distinctive style will be catastrophic for his business. Stable Diffusion, at least in the public version that I'm using, can't quite hit Rutkowski's level of competence yet, but how good is it going to be in 5 years? Will we be able to tell the difference between the AI-generated image and Rutkowski's own? As the MIT Technology Review blandly put it, open source AI programs are, quote, raising tricky questions about ethics, copyright, and security. Let's make the matter a bit more pointed. All you creatives in the room now have to worry about having your artistic style robbed from you by a simple prompt, perhaps resulting in a complete loss of revenue in an industry where it can already, frankly, be challenging to make a living. AI must confront the complicated issues of ownership and just payment for use of content. Or here's another ethics concern. I ran a prompt in Stable Diffusion, that same text-to-image art generator. The prompt was simple. I typed greatest theologian ever, and I kept hitting the generate image button. Each time you do, you get 4 images, or if it's kind of lagging, maybe you get 3. So here's a typical result. After 10 clicks, I had only seen images, 40 of them now, of older white men with long beards, or occasionally for some variety, short beards. Maybe a picture just with text. But there had been no black, no Latino, no Asian, no Middle Eastern, no indigenous men pictured in this prompt, and there were no women at all. To compare results, I typed the simple prompt, drug dealer. The first images I saw included one of a black man, pictured here. 10 clicks later, I can say that most of the results were weird cartoons, kind of like this one on the bottom left. But 6 of the 10 clicks resulted in photorealistic, or surrealistic maybe, images of black men. 1 of 10 clicks resulted in a photorealistic image of a Hispanic man, but no white men were depicted, and again, no women. In other words, racial biases from society have found their way into our artificial intelligence. Now, some of you math and science people might be saying that the problem is my sample size was too small. I just didn't click generate enough, and eventually things would have balanced out. However, other studies using far larger numbers have found similar results, sometimes using as many as 5,000 clicks. So it seems that AI has drawn our culture of racial and gender discrimination and prejudice into itself. Of course, this too is a huge ethics concern. As early as 2021, the ACLU was sounding the alarm about racism within artificial intelligence. One brief ACLU article notes that studies have shown that algorithms have perpetuated housing discrimination because the AI used in mortgage screenings and renter applications drew on arrest records that were already biased through higher arrest without conviction rates of Black Americans. In other words, someone who was wrongly arrested because of racial profiling and who was never convicted because they had never done anything wrong would still have something on their record, and then AI would come in and use that record to charge them a higher interest rate on mortgages or to deny them their application to be a renter. Similar racial discrimination is apparently evident in studies on AI's use in human resources hiring decisions. So the apocalyptic dimensions of AI may not be in the style of Terminator, where cyborg armies take over the world. Instead, the AI apocalypse might simply be the result of amplifying the worst in humanity, including, for example, our racism. One of the most important challenges in the coming decades will therefore be marshaling the tremendous power of artificial intelligence for good purposes. But this will require an understanding of complex ethical issues and a will to pursue the good. Those of you concerned about having your livelihoods jeopardized by the superior knowledge of AI may find that any training you have in ethics will suddenly make you a valuable employee, because humans are going to have to serve as the consciences of AI. If we stand to benefit so much from the development of AI, we do so only insofar as the people directing AI are well-trained in moral reasoning. Let's return again for the moment to the example of Stable Diffusion, that text-to-image art generator that plagiarized a Polish artist's fantasy paintings of dragons. Never thought I'd say that sentence in real life. Like all AI, Stable Diffusion draws on a large data set of prior images, and it compares its output images to the data of these prior images so that its output is valid. In other words, its creativity is always bound by its foundational data. Similarly, ChatGPT works by using predictive text, answering your prompt with the text it predicts you are seeking based on its foundational data set. So it too is bound by this data set. The fact that AI is bound by its data set means that its creativity is of a limited sort. Illustrate, and since I'm a theologian, let's contrast the creativity of AI with that of God. Christian theologians generally claim that God creates ex nihilo. Does anyone who's taken my BCD care to shout out what the Latin phrase ex nihilo means? Out of nothing. Okay, one person paid attention in the class. Well done. Ex nihilo means out of nothing. It's Latin for out of nothing. So when we read the account of creation in Genesis 1, we don't see God using anything to create. God simply says, "Let there be light," and there is. I also just realized you haven't even taken my class yet, so you just knew that. God simply speaks, and suddenly there is light. He creates something new, not based on the pattern of existing things, though sometimes he works in this way too. In Genesis 1, he creates out of nothing. As Hebrews 11:3 puts it, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible." In contrast with God, AI can only make something new out of something old, something already visible. So let's turn now to human creativity. Certainly, we do not have the full creative power of God. I can't say, "Let there be donuts," and suddenly we all get a donut to help us get through the end of this talk. However, in recent decades, Christian theologians writing about culture have argued that human beings are co-creators with God in a certain limited sense. I cannot make new matter or energy out of nothing, but I do have the creative capacity in my mind to make new things that go beyond the basic patterns of what has gone before. So think of Pablo Picasso and Cubism. I have an example of that up here. Cubism certainly isn't pure creation ex nihilo. Picasso used the typical materials of art, such as paint and canvas. But the basic idea of doing a portrait is also not new. However, at a fundamental level, cubism represents something new. It is something that moves beyond the constraints of the prior data set in art in ways that AI cannot and will not do. Certainly, now that we have cubism, you can ask AI to make a cubist painting, but I very much doubt that AI, had it been invented over a century ago before Picasso, I very much doubt that AI could have created cubism on its own. Here, then, we found another advantage that all of you have that you can pursue against AI: creativity. As image bearers of the infinitely creative God, we have a creativity that is a lesser shadow of God's own creativity. And then we then created AI, and its creativity is but a shadow of our own. This means that we will always have the potential to be creative in a manner that goes beyond that of programs like ChatGPT and Stable Diffusion. Cultivating creativity will give us a competitive advantage in the market. Humans have a God-given thirst for beauty and innovation, where AI simply offers free knockoffs at a very high level. Finally, I want to briefly address truth. AI draws on informational data sets to determine truth. So where there's massive areas of consensus, for example, in the basics of US law, ChatGPT can excel by passing the bar exam required by all lawyers. But ChatGPT has no built-in process for evaluating the truthfulness of claims beyond consensus in its data sets. In fact, where an AI's data lacks basic information, AI is notorious for making up answers. Just ask ChatGPT a question about your personal life and watch the wrong and probably quite bizarre answers that it produces with an appearance of truthfulness. Or if it gets the answers right, go change your privacy settings on social media. If you want to be competitive in job markets against AI, you need to move beyond mere memorization of facts. AI is always going to be better at that than you are. Instead, focus on developing abilities in reasoning, the use of logic, critical thinking, and philosophy that AI platforms completely lack. Yes, AI may be able to develop sales reports better than you can, but if you're able to identify problems in the data set used by your company's AI platform, you could be worth far more money to your company than that AI app is, guaranteeing you a good wage and a long career. So I hope you've begun to recognize that the sort of competitive worker in a post-AI world that I've been describing is the very sort of worker that a Christian liberal arts college tries to develop. As a liberal arts school, we require you to take courses in fine arts and literature to develop creativity. We require courses in a wide range of disciplines to help you develop critical thinking. Courses in theology and Bible should pursue questions of goodness and truth. But much of the formation in creativity, ethics, and critical thinking that happens at a liberal arts institution requires students to put in effort too, or else they'll not develop these capacities. At the very least, this means you shouldn't rely on ChatGPT to write your papers, unless one day you find yourself replaceable in the workforce by that very same AI platform. Pushing further, though, I hope you enter your courses with a genuine thirst for developing your moral reasoning, creativity, and critical thinking. As a Christian college, we have a special commitment to the ideals of goodness, beauty, and truth. In much classical thinking, these qualities are called the three transcendentals. A transcendental is something that can only be satisfied by and found in the transcendent, which is a fancy theology term to refer to what is beyond the created universe. In other words, goodness, truth, and beauty are only fully found in God, who is goodness, beauty, and truth itself. As Jesus remarked in Mark 10:18, no one is good but God alone. Yeah, we may do good things from time to time, but Christians claim that moral perfection is only found in the God who is goodness itself. Or as Jesus also said in John 14, I am the truth. And Christians have long claimed that truth is that which corresponds to the infinite and accurate knowledge of God, which forever he has in himself. Beauty is also from God, for all beautiful things in this world are his creation, and they are sustained by his artistic hand. In other words, the pursuit of beauty, goodness, and truth is the pursuit of God. And Christians believe that we grow in knowledge, that as we grow in knowledge of truth and moral goodness, and in the appreciation of beauty, we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit that the Father has placed within us when we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, in faith. Now, such growth is not automatic, and there's plenty of ugliness, evil, and falsehood in Christian history. But by God's grace, many Christians do grow in these areas. And so, as we await the possibility of a future AI apocalypse on the workforce, we can also wait for the promised final apocalypse of Christ's second coming, when the Father himself will appear in the new creation, manifesting perfect beauty, goodness, and truth, with a final victory through Christ over the ugliness of death, the evils of sin, and the lies of our enemy, the devil. As we await this blessed apocalypse, we may pray that God's grace bestows some measure of this beauty, goodness, and truth on us while we wait. And it is in this hope, this prayer, and this challenge that I leave you, Sterling College, at the start of your academic year. Pursue God's goodness, truth, and beauty, not only because it will make you competitive in a post-AI market, but also, and much more significantly, because in such things we find the purpose of our lives through communion with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you.
That preceding message was brought to you by ChatGPT. Thank you. Joking aside, thank you, Dr. Bettner. That was a wonderful message, and we appreciate all that you do here at the college.
At this moment, will you bow your heads with me as we pray for the coming school year, and especially our new students? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. You're truly an amazing, gracious God. For we know your path is narrow, and you will not make this choice for us. So for those that don't know you, speak into their hearts with your truth. And to those who believe, may we grow in experiencing you better. May we grow in trusting you better. And may we connect to your strength better. Lord, we have gathered here as a Sterling College family to dedicate this new school year to you. We ask that you continue to bless these students, staff, and faculty. We commit ourselves in this time to you, and may we bring glory to the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, give us peace as we open this school year. Take away those fears and insecurities some may have. Restore them with confidence and comfort. For the faculty and staff, prepare us to lead and minister to those you have put in our path. Guide us in the way we should go. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.